It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Karen Hartglass, your host today, and you're listening to It's All About Food, because it is all about food. When you come to think of it, everything that you do in life is somehow related to food, and most of us love food, and I love talking about food. So we're going to be talking about something that I think everybody loves, at least a lot of people love, and that's chocolate. And we're going to be talking about how not only how wonderful and delicious chocolate can be, but how you can be doing wonderful things when you buy chocolate, at least certain chocolate. And we're going to be talking about a lot of other things, but I want to bring on my guest, Sarah Gross, who is the founder of Rescue Chocolate. And she has, here's her story. She has always shared her home with dogs and has felt a lifelong empathy for animals. Research about the horrendous conditions on factory farms led her to become a vegetarian and then a vegan while still in middle school. Throughout high school, she volunteered for her local animal shelter in Shreveport, Louisiana, and for 3 years she worked as a professional ballet dancer on the West and East Coasts, received her BA in Humanities from the University of Maryland, and she moved to New York about 3 years ago and became a certified Pilates instructor and part-time chocolate bar developer for a raw chocolate company in Queens. In founding Rescue Chocolate, she was able to marry two of her greatest loves, helping animals and chocolate. Her rescued pit bull, Mocha Bella, graces all Rescue Chocolate labels. So please welcome Sarah Gross.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this because I'm looking at a number of different wonderful chocolate bars in front of me, which I might get to taste later on.
Oh, I hope you do.
But first I want to talk about you and how you became a vegetarian. This all happened in middle school.
Yeah, my mom was a vegetarian for a few years before I became a vegetarian, so that kind of exposed me to the idea, since I grew up in Louisiana and they put animal products in
everything,
single vegetable product, like everything has some sort of meat or dairy. So I knew about vegetarianism through my mom, and I've always just loved animals, and one day I connected the two, like I shouldn't be eating the animals that I love. And then I was reading a book just on how to be a healthy vegetarian. It's not like a huge book. It's like something called The Teenage Guide to Vegetarianism. Mm. And it talked about factory farming. And so it actually turned me on to being vegan because I had no idea what factory farms were doing to the cows and the chickens and why.
It's amazing how many of us, I can't believe how many people don't know what's going on.
Because they see these ads, happy cows.
Yeah.
Like, they assume, oh, well, if it's organic, then it's okay. Or why, that doesn't hurt them. They don't have to be killed. So that's what I thought. I didn't know why anyone wouldn't eat it until I just learned about it.
Well, your mom must have been happy.
Yeah, yeah.
So you said she was just doing it for a few years. Has she continued or not?
Yeah, she is still a vegetarian. And then after I became vegetarian, my sister became vegetarian. And then my dad is basically vegetarian.
Great.
So it kind of rippled out to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we talk about having the veil lifted.
Mm-hmm.
And once the veil is lifted, it does have this rippling effect around the people who love you.
I think so. I mean, the reasoning is solid. It's not a fad thing we were doing. It was just the facts that we all knew. So it was pretty simple.
Well, you were lucky for your mom to discover it. Do you know how she got turned on to it or what made her think about it?
I think it started with a diet. And she has always loved animals.
A weight loss
anyway,
diet.
Yeah, yeah, a weight loss diet. But it stuck because of just the animal issues. Like, I think her first idea was, you know, just as a diet, but certainly it stuck with her for more than just that reason.
Right. Well, it's probably the easiest diet to be on where the easiest way to maintain your natural healthy weight, a vegetarian diet. Certainly, there are vegetarians and vegans today that are overweight because there are more and more junk foods that are available that are vegan. That's a good and bad thing. I mean, it's a good thing that suppliers are finding ways, finding that there's more of a community that wants treats. But still, the science shows that vegetarians and vegan diets are the healthier diets and the easiest ways to maintain a healthy weight. And, you know, everybody's always looking to lose a few pounds. And this is the easiest way to do it. Okay, so then you became vegetarian and then vegan at some point, and you also have this connection with dogs and animals.
With dogs, yeah. I was volunteering at the animal shelter after school several days a week just to feel like I was doing something to help the dogs. And the cats. Sometimes we would go into the cat's room also and try to take them out of the cage, but they weren't as, like, accepting of affection. But the dogs definitely needed the exercise and the affection, and who knows if they ever got to leave the shelter, because Louisiana has one of, or if not the worst, euthanasia rate. So Louisiana is getting better, like the whole country, but what Rescue Chocolate is trying to do is increase the speed at which all these shelters are improving their numbers and decreasing euthanasia rates.
So let's talk about why those shelters are there. What's going on with dogs and cats today that they end up in shelters?
A lot of it is the owners are not fixing them. They're not spaying and neutering their pets. And sometimes it's because they feel like this would, you know, make their dogs unemotional or, like, take away a male dog's manhood.
Right.
But also sometimes it's because they can't afford it. So now there are all of these no-cost and low-cost spay-neuter clinics that appear every weekend. They have mobile vans that do the surgery for free. They go to less wealthy neighborhoods to just get as many animals as they can fixed. So that's really the biggest way that you can help reduce the overpopulation.
So now some would say that wish we could do that with human beings too. But we're supposed to have a little more control of ourselves. Okay, now, but there's another portion of this, too, with the puppy mills that are around today. Are you familiar with that?
Right, that's also a problem. I mean, the most pet stores are not populated with rescue animals. Some of them are now, but most of them have dogs from puppy mills, and that's something that really should be a part of the past. I mean, there are breeders who are more responsible if you want a purebred dog, but there is no puppy mill that's a humane business.
So this show is called It's All About Food, and we primarily talk about food, and we will be talking about food. We're going to be talking about chocolate, and you will soon see the connection between animal shelters and chocolate. But while we're on the subject of animal shelters and puppy mills, I just wanted to expand a little bit more while I can before we get into the delicious part of the program. And so, you know, we talk a lot about factory farming of animals for food, and the majority of food today, about 99% of the livestock that's, or the meat that's available for people, is created on factory farms, and the animals are treated horrifically. They're suffering from birth until death. They're separated from their mothers pretty much right after birth, and then they're raised in excrement and filth in these cramped conditions very often they don't see the light of day. They don't get to stretch their limbs. It's a horrific, disgusting scenario, and humanity has created this because we have a big taste for flesh. And so I always encourage people to eat more fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds because it's healthy, it's great for the environment, and it also will save some of these animals from being in this terrible condition. But in addition to food animals, there are also animals that are raised in confinement in very unpleasant conditions in order to create certain breeds of dogs and other animals for pets. And it's not pleasant, and it's particularly not pleasant for the mother, or the bitch, as I would say, who is kept in confinement and exploited and kept pregnant on a regular basis in order to make all of these puppies, these special breeds that the owners or the breeders will charge exorbitant amounts of money sometimes for.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to the factory farming that happens to the cows. These mother dogs are kept, and they can't even be kept for many years because the conditions, they are just worked, like, to the bone. And sometimes when they get rescued from these puppy mills, you know, they're totally emaciated. You wonder how they could have bore puppies, but... Mm-hmm. You know, they're mangy, emaciated, and only 3 years old. They look like they're 15, but they can be nursed back to health once they get rescued. But somehow these puppy mills, you know, they're making these purebred dogs that people are just going to coddle and love and, you know, excessively buy these luxurious items for, but then the mother dogs are living the worst lives.
Yeah. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't realize this, especially when they're looking at cute little puppies on the internet mm-hmm. that you can purchase. And a lot of these really aren't telling the truth about their facilities and how these adorable little animals are raised. And the moms of these cute little puppies are living in hell, really.
They are.
It's really quite sad. Okay. So, enough of that. Let's move to a more happier, delicious thought. So, in order to solve the problem, or part of the problem, you came up with rescue chocolate.
Yes. Yeah, every flavor that we come up with has a name that focuses on a particular issue of pet overpopulation. So, we started with peanut butter pit bull, because pit bulls are... really the most common dog breed that you'll find in the animal shelters today in most cities.
Do you know why that is?
It's partially because of dog fighting. There's a lot of people who, you know, breed the pit bulls. And my pit bull, for example, was what they call a throwaway mom. So they were breeding her, but they cut her ears, which would tell us that they were going to fight her. But I think she's just too sweet of a dog to have fought. So she was a throwaway mom. But a lot of the pit bulls are, you know, maybe they're busted from a dogfighting ring, and so that's how the shelters get them. But a lot of them, you know, the owners are just very irresponsible, and so they are strays.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. To change the subject just briefly, are you familiar with the latest Supreme Court decision? About
yes.
viewing violent animal films, and I guess a lot of it is with pit bulls that are fighting?
Yeah, some of it, or maybe they focused on the dog fighting videos mm-hmm. that are now legal to view and sell. And I kind of wonder if they made it illegal, it would just become like popular drugs that are, you know, being bought and sold. Yeah, and it's never going to go away.
Yeah.
And so if they make it illegal, maybe more people would want to see it and film it. And, you know, if it's something taboo, they want it.
Right. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. And I'm here with my guest, Sarah Gross, who's the founder of Rescue Chocolate. And this is a live call-in show. You can call in with your questions at 1-888-873-4643. 1-888-873-4643. And usually I have my computer with me today. I don't have it today, but if you do have comments or questions, you can email me during the week at info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. Okay. So back to more happy thoughts. I can't help it. You know, it's unfortunate because there's a lot of awful things happening in the world, but I always want to focus on the positive because I think we can make a lot more change for the better when we focus on the positive things. And this is what you're doing.
Yeah, I want to make it easy for people to educate themselves, know what the issues are, know, like, how they can help without getting bogged down in the very sad and serious issues.
Okay, so how did you get started with Rescue Chocolate? What's your whole chocolate journey?
My whole journey? Well, a few years ago, when I moved to New York, I kind of thought, I want to see what all of the vegan chocolates in New York are. Like, there's probably just 10 or 15, and I'm going to try them all and see what the best one is. Because I was, like, deciding that I liked chocolate more than just, like, once a week. So I went around and I got all the different chocolates I could find, and it ended up like it's a never-ending quest. There's actually so many dark chocolates without any dairy products. So that kind of started me getting hooked on chocolate because I do think it's a little drug-like. It really,
oh, sure.
It
there's
really
science
makes you happy.
That says that there is an addictive behavior to chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. So I have never stopped trying different chocolates. And then I was working, I got a job at a raw, organic, vegan chocolate company called Gnosis Chocolate. It's in Long Island City, New York. And I was working there for about a year. I developed a flavor for them. And
what flavor was that?
It was Fleur de Sel, which is a special kind of salt. It's really fine.
Fleur de Sel.
Yeah, and the salty and sweet was like my favorite.
Okay.
So, but then just this past December, December 09, I was walking my dog in the park after a breakfast of chocolate, and I had just these two words came to me like a lightning bolt, Rescue Chocolate, and I just, like, developed the idea on the spot, and it went very quickly after that.
Mm-hmm. So you've created this company that makes chocolate.
Yes.
And what do you do with the proceeds?
With the proceeds, we donate all of our net to different animal rescue organizations. So whenever somebody buys directly from Rescue Chocolate, we have an organization of the month or for 2 months that we will donate all net profits to. We also like to have different rescue groups buy the chocolate from us at wholesale, so that they can then resell it and educate their community and make some money as they do it.
Very nice. So it's a win. Okay, let's look at some of the flavors you have.
So I brought you our newest truffles. They're called Wild at Heart. And these focus on animals beyond your typical dog and cat at the animal shelters. These are the wild animals that we humans use for our purposes of entertainment or laboratory testing. So Wild at Heart is basically, you know, these animals were meant to be wild.
It's beautiful. Now, first, I want to talk about the packaging first. And I'm loving this right away because it's clear that you've thought of everything. So the packaging, it's some sort of, it's a box, and it's a dark, it's a very lovely dark gray. Is there a name for this color gray?
Anthracite, maybe?
Oh, maybe. But it's a very nice little box. Now, this is all paper?
It's paper, and then on the little door to the box is a magnet to keep it shut tightly.
Oh, wow, look at that.
And we wanted to be sure that it wasn't too easy to open so that if you've got your dogs nearby, they don't get into it because you don't want your dogs eating chocolate. But, we try to use, like, as much recycled materials as possible.
Oh, my God, this is so good.
So you're trying the raspberry ganache
so
filled chocolate heart.
You know, it just listen to this in my mouth. But it's reminding me of in the old days, getting a box of chocolates with all the different flavors,
mm-hmm.
and you try the different ones. But because it has that the raspberry soft filling that kind of, what I want to say, it's smooth and runny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it tastes better than my memory.
I think these chocolates are better than what I ever had growing up.
Like, because the chocolate is so good.
It's really, I mean, it's fresh what you're getting. It's straight from the factory today.
Okay. Wow.
But also, we use only the best chocolate. We don't fill it up with preservatives and chemicals and fake things you've never heard of. It's all just pure ingredients.
And it's a beautiful heart shape.
Yes.
And the box is reusable.
It is. You can put rings or coins or whatever you want in there.
Okay, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Okay. So what other flavors are there? I'm trying to put this little ring back on it. There we go.
What I brought you today was a peanut butter pitbull, which is crispy peanut butter enrobed in dark chocolate. It's the runaway bestseller. Can't get enough of addictive chocolate.
Peanut butter pitbull.
Yes.
Okay.
And I also brought you a Fosterific peppermint, highlighting the importance of foster families.
Okay,
for
I'm
dogs.
Just going to try the peanut butter right now. I can't manage too much. Now, is this a magnet too?
This is not a magnet.
Oh, okay.
It's a little origami type box.
Right. So this is very environmentally friendly because it's paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this lovely bar inside. Oh my goodness.
And this is the bar that people will always say, oh, I'm just going to have a bite, and then I'm going to close the bag and put it away. And then it never gets closed.
So I haven't tried it yet, but it looks a little like if a Reese's peanut butter was in a long rectangular shape.
It's a sort of similar idea, except it's so much better.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So it has these little crispies in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost has a... there's a reminiscent flavor, like, what is it? Maybe that, what's that hard, like a Mary Jane or something. Only those are really hard. Well, it tastes like peanut butter, but
peanut butter and chocolate was the first flavor I knew that I had to do. It's my personal favorite combination.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do it justice.
Wow, this is really good. So I'm enjoying this. And
Very good.
I just can't make the point enough that, when I say this all the time, you can have your cake and eat it too. You can have your chocolate and eat it too. There's just about everything that you love that you can get today that is cruelty-free and delicious. So why not? So I invite you to check out this chocolate. Now, your products are at rescuechocolate.com?
Yes, rescuechocolate.com, no dashes.
And people can order online?
They can. We also have a few retail locations around the country, and we're always looking for more stores.
Now, let me ask you a question. I'm sure you're always coming up with new products.
Yes.
Is there any thought of a vegan M&M?
There is a thought of this, yeah. I mean, it would take some extra technology.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're not doing that sort of size, but mm-hmm. I would love to offer a vegan M&M.
I just asked because I was visiting with my brother last weekend, and he has a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, raising them vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And my niece, who's 4, was talking about some cupcake they got that had M&M's on it, and she didn't have them because she knows that M&M's are made with cow's milk. But I think she was tattling on my 2-year-old nephew who eats everything, and he managed to grab them. And so it would be really great. I haven't seen them. I haven't looked for them, though, but...
No, they really don't exist. There are not vegan M&M-type candies.
Right.
So and we'll be looking into that.
Right. It definitely would be, I think, very popular. Unless M&M, is that the Mars company?
I think so.
Do they have, maybe they have a patent on that kind of candy?
Oh, no. It's just a circular chocolate candy.
Right.
We could do it.
Okay. So let's talk about a bunch of other things. Excuse me. Rescue Chocolate's getting a little press.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have such a internet presence now. It's kind of ricocheting from everybody telling their friends and their family about Rescue Chocolate. Girly Girl Army is a big blog with a lot of followers. It's, you know, the eco-conscious guide to glamazon living.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, we actually got a lot of other blogs. Vegetarian.about.com also wrote about us.
Wow.
And we were on the Rachel Ray show last week. Rachel Ray picked Peanut Butter Pitbull as the snack of the day.
Nice.
So it's so wonderful to mm-hmm. see such a mainstream show showcasing a vegan snack.
Right.
So that was really great.
Why not?
No reason not to. It's amazing.
These chocolates are really, really fabulous.
Thank you.
And I consider myself a chocolate connoisseur.
It's a high compliment.
I usually have, maybe not every day, but usually in the evening, you know, maybe a couple of squares. I never really indulge, but I just like to finish the day with a little chocolate.
I know what you mean.
But these are, I love these with the raspberry filling. This is very exciting because I guess I never acknowledged it, but kind of gave up on the idea of having some of those. What are these called?
You could call them truffles or you could call them bonbons.
Okay. I'm just thinking of all the little chocolates that come in a box that have gooey fillings in them, and I sort of gave up on that sort of thing because it's hard to find them vegan. But this is really, really fabulous.
We also have Bow Wow Bonbons, which is a box of four different truffles. I didn't bring them today, but four different flavors inside, so you can definitely experience the wonder of which one is this chocolate.
Mm-hmm. So, can we just talk a little bit about raw chocolate, since you have
Sure.
some experience with it?
Mm-hmm.
How is that different?
Raw chocolate is never, when it's melted down, like the cacao butter, and then mixed in with the cacao paste, the temperatures never go above, like, 116, 117 degrees. So it's a much slower process to get it, you know, in its proper form to be poured into a chocolate mold.
Mm-hmm.
And with the company I worked with, we sweetened it with agave rather than cane sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that more of the nutrients are in place, and it's a much more nutritious chocolate.
Right. But you chose to go more of a traditional route with your own company and not make them raw.
Yeah, and the cost of a raw chocolate is pretty prohibitively expensive,
mm-hmm.
so we wouldn't have been able to really donate much and have anybody buy it.
Right. Well, I'm kind of the belief that most of the time, day to day, you should be eating a very healthy diet, which consists of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts and seeds, lots of greens. I personally don't like to salt my food. Salt is not really a healthy food, and I try and stay away from oils. When I'm cooking and preparing my food, I get my fats from avocado and raw nut butters, coconut.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm going to celebrate, when I'm going to treat myself to a treat,
mm-hmm.
that's when, you know, I'm going to have a treat. Now, it has to be vegan. That's my only rule. But, you know, I don't have a problem with having chocolate or sugar or white flour when it's going to be an occasional treat.
Mm-hmm.
And because why not?
All of our sugar is completely vegan. It's beet sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something we definitely wanted to take care of.
Right. Great. Well, I think we should take a short break, and we will be right back.
Earth Day tips coming at you in 3, 2, now! Guys, come on, let's pitch in for a better tomorrow. Try collecting rainwater to use to water your house, plants, and garden. Make rags out of old shirts instead of buying paper towels. And as tough as it sounds, 5-minute showers. Every minute saved could add a year to the planet. Results may vary. Happy Earth Day from PRN.
Greetings, this is Dr. Cheryl Stillman, a naturopathic doctor, author, and women's health advocate, inviting you to enter the Women's Healing Circle, a live, call-in, holistic show every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Finally, there is a place that freely shares the most effective natural solutions for the many health challenges unique to women. Learn how you can get your hormones back on track, uplift your moods, banish fatigue, and so much more from a holistic perspective. The Women's Healing Circle is dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions regarding your health. Join me and the Women's Healing Circle every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Ever wonder why some people have successful lives? Well, let's shrink about this. Hi, I'm Dr. Molly Barrow, author of Matchlines for Singles and the Malia and Teacup Self-Esteem Building Series for Children. Please join me and my guests every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to explore psychological and practical problem solving, from personal issues to world events. You can call in to join the conversation or just enjoy listening. If you're looking for balance in your relationship, career choices, family, and your planet, please join Dr. Molly Barrow and Shrink About This Tuesday at 10 Eastern on www.progressiveradionetwork.com.
Every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join the founders of the Godspeed Institute for Spiritual Learning, Carol and Michael Hallenbeck, for Godspeed, an enlightening and informative journey into the world's religions and spiritual belief systems. Through conversations with experts worldwide, this weekly live call-in program is an on-air classroom aimed at helping listeners gain exposure to and insight into religious and spiritual practices around the world. Every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Are you a conscious college student? If you're interested in progressive news and politics, we want to hear from you. The Progressive Radio Network is looking for radio hosts to discuss college life and the issues dealing with being in a university. Send an email to Kara Lee at GaryKnoll.com, K-A-R-A-L-E-E at GaryKnoll.com, or call 646-307-4482 and tell me your radio experience and any idea you could contribute to PRN.
You are listening to Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thanks for joining me. And today we have Sarah Gross, who's the founder of Rescue Chocolate. So it's been a really yummy show so far, because I've gotten to taste some of their fabulous chocolates, and we're going to continue talking about chocolate and shelters for animals and a whole bunch of interesting topics, I think, that are related to food, because it's all about food. So one of the things that people talk about when we talk about chocolate is where it comes from. And there's been a lot of discussion about slavery, child slavery,
right,
and chocolate and fair trade chocolate. So, what do you have to say about that?
Well, the chocolate that we use is called Calabo, mm-hmm, and it's of mixed origin. And basically, Calabo supports the fair trade initiative, but our chocolate is not certified fair trade.
Mm-hmm.
And when you research further into it, you find that the process for a farmer to become fair trade certified is such a rigmarole, and it is so difficult. They have to have a lot of money to begin with,
yeah,
to become certified. And basically, Calabo pays very fair market rate for the cocoa beans. Like, there's a standard market rate for the cocoa beans, and which ensures that the farmers are getting what they're worth, the fair wage, and they basically can assure that it's not slave labor.
It's really a very frustrating thing, and I've certainly heard about it with organic certification, where there are a lot of small farmers that can't afford the bureaucracy and the paperwork for organic certification, and so they don't get it.
Right.
And so it's the same thing with the fair trade, and that's really, really sad to hear, because both of these things, organic and fair trade, were movements that came out of grassroots organizing.
Right.
And now, as corporations kind of jump onto them, it becomes more expensive to get certified and more difficult.
Yeah, the small farmer really cannot get fair trade certification.
And so, unfortunately, a lot of chocolate is raised, it comes from cocoa beans that are grown in the Ivory Coast, and there are a lot of children that are used to harvest this chocolate, and they are literally slaves.
Yeah.
It's funny, not funny, but I was actually watching Dave Letterman last night, and Demi Moore was on, and she and her partner or her husband have some foundation that raises money to, I'm not exactly that familiar with it, but they were talking about the great numbers of slaves that that exist in the world, and many of them are actually in our own country. And,
wow.
You know, it's mind-boggling because, you know, here it is, the 21st century,
yeah.
And there's still a great deal of slavery, human slavery, and certainly I talk about food and factory farming, and that's where
that
we have animal slaves. The exploitation lives on.
Mm-hmm.
But the message here over and over and over is that you have the power to do something about it, and it's not difficult, and it can be delicious. And that is, every day you make a choice, 3 meals a day and plus during your snack times, with what you choose to eat and what you choose to buy. And so make a difference and buy the foods that come from places that you can support what they're doing. So I encourage you. I always encourage people to buy organic, and then there are the farmers that can't afford to be organically certified, so it's good to go to a farmer's market and get to know some of these farmers and hear what they're doing. So locally grown farmers markets, community-supported agriculture, CSAs are a great place to get food and support really organic food and fair trade products. So you can do that with your purchasing dollars, and it makes a big difference.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a member of the Park Slope Food Co-op, and so much of the produce there is not certified organic, but it's called minimally treated, and it's local, and it tastes just as good as organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so important because products are only there when people buy them, and I don't want to put all the blame on the big corporations that are creating products, because they're only there because the demand is there. Now, there are lots of other things that are involved, because a lot of people are manipulated through marketing, and there's a lot of marketing that is geared towards children to make the children annoy you and nag you so that you buy the bad products or the unhealthy products. There is that. But you have a choice, and so please make the right choice, make the healthy choice, make the compassionate choice, make the eco-friendly, planet-friendly choice. Buy fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. Keep it organic, keep it local, keep it fair trade. Find out about your suppliers and really try and reduce or eliminate the meat and dairy and junk food and processed food that's in your home and with your restaurant choices, too. Okay, so that's chocolate. We may come back to chocolate, but let's talk about a few other things. So there is something called the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale, and it's taking place this year between April 24th and May 2nd. And this is actually the second annual Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale, and I went to the website, and the website is veganbakesale.org, veganbakesale.org, and you really should check it out, because it is amazing to see how many people all over the world are participating in this event. And so the idea behind it is that, I'm going to read this, groups from across the world will hold vegan bake sales. Each participating group gets to choose its venue, what to sell, and how it uses its proceeds. And you can have your bake sale between this two-week period, April 24th to May 2nd. And they're really successful, and you can make a lot of money for whatever group that you're fundraising for. I've heard wonderful things about them, and I know there's a few happening in New York, in Manhattan, where we are. And the wonderful thing is you get to taste all of these fabulous baked goods, cookies and cakes and pies, and they don't have any bad ingredients in them.
People get really creative lately. There's some good new vegan baked good cookbooks out, and it's amazing what I've tried in the past few months. Somebody made like a pretzel apple cookie, and you would never have thought of that, but it was amazing. So these vegan bake sales are such a good thing.
Right. So if you're looking for a great vegan cookbook, there are lots of them out there. I can recommend a few. Some of my favorites are Great Good Dairy-Free Desserts and More Great Good Dairy-Free Desserts by my dear friend Fran Costigan. She uses lots of healthy ingredients. Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, we've had her on the show. She has the wonderful book, The Joy of Vegan Baking. And we also talked about a few weeks ago, I'm embarrassed now, the title is escaping me and I don't want to forget it because, Sweet Utopia. What a wonderful cookbook.
What kind of book is that?
It's another vegan baking cookbook.
Oh.
Yeah, lots of wonderful, really creative treats. So, and we have a number of vegan bakeries in Manhattan, too.
We do. I love the Lifetime Bakery down on 6th Avenue. They have just everything you ever grew up with.
Now, it's true that there can be some challenges if you're have a gluten intolerance, and that makes the vegan baking a little tricky, but there are a number of cookbooks out there, and I'm hoping to get somebody on the show to talk a little bit more about that, because there's more of an art to that, but there's more and more people that are having these wheat sensitivities, and I think the technology behind the baking will become more sophisticated in the future.
Yeah, the gluten-free products are definitely multiplying every time you go to the store.
How about your products? Where are they on the gluten scale?
Well, the peanut butter Pitbull does have Rice Krispies, but everything else is gluten-free.
Okay. But do Rice Krispies have gluten in them?
They are dusted with cornstarch.
Oh, and the cornstarch might have gluten in them?
Possibly, okay, so we don't want to call it gluten-free.
Right, okay. I'm not going to challenge you here, but yeah, and some people are so gluten sensitive that, you know, they really need to have everything blessed and certified and stamped, and that can be difficult.
Right. We don't have
starting
that.
Up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yummy. And so did I talk about Starbucks yet?
We didn't talk about Starbucks.
I've been getting lots of alerts and emails, and apparently Starbucks, effective May 5th, I think, will be offering soy-based frappuccinos.
I heard that this morning.
Now, I don't go to Starbucks very often because it's a little pricey for me, and I'm not a coffee drinker, but when I do go, I usually get the chai tea bag, and I ask them to make it all with steamed soy milk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really yummy. It's like a latte, only all steamed soy.
I've never tried that.
Oh, my God, it's so good. And they usually use a sweet soy milk.
Mm-hmm.
At home, most of the time, we only buy soy milk that's unsweetened, just soybeans and water. I like to keep it clean.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm treating myself, a sweet soy milk, vanilla soy milk, is really yummy, steamed with the chai. But now, apparently, they're going to make their frappuccino base, which I think is like a mix or something.
Right, yeah, there's always like these pre-made dairy product frappuccinos.
And I'm not going to encourage that you go for it because I don't know how healthy it is. It sounds highly processed and who knows what else is in it. But yay that they're taking the dairy out and replacing it with soy. That's going to make it a little healthier.
It won't have any more dairy frappuccinos?
I'm not sure. I've read, it was kind of confusing, but what I read is that the light base is not vegan, but that the regular base will be vegan.
That is great.
But I could be wrong. Don't hold me to it. But there are a few little things that you have to keep in mind. The caramel syrup is vegan, but the mocha and caramel sauces are not. And certainly the whipped cream is not. Okay. So the good thing about this is, and this is what I was talking about before, where we can get what we want when we support products with our dollars. Starbucks is only responding to demand.
Exactly.
We have to demand these things. And so yay for Starbucks for providing access. I don't want to talk any more about them.
Well, as long as we're kind of talking about coffee,
sure. Yeah.
One of our future flavors is Forever Mocha.
Oh, my God. You have to make a coffee chocolate flavor.
Right, because my dog's name is Mocha. I didn't name her that. She came with the name Mocha, but it just makes sense to do a little coffee bean and the chocolate and call it Forever Mocha.
Right.
So look out in the future.
I think the best chocolate... I love chocolate, but I think I prefer chocolate with something else. It seems to enhance the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So chocolate with peanut butter or chocolate with other nuts, chocolate with coffee. I always put coffee in my chocolate cake mix.
Really?
Always, always. You can't taste it, but it just seems to bring out the flavor of the chocolate.
Yeah, I've never been a coffee drinker myself, but whenever coffee is in something else, I like it.
Right, and it certainly smells great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did a show on my Ask a Vegan show on Sunday nights where I really slammed coffee in general. It is not a healthy thing. And it's not just the caffeine. And, you know, we could talk about caffeine being in chocolate, too, for a minute. But the thing about coffee is there's lots of organic chemicals in them, some of them that we haven't even identified, and some of them have been identified as carcinogens. And... It's really not a healthy thing. Maybe we could talk a little about chocolate, coffee, sugar, all of these commodity foods.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one reason why I would want to get my chocolate from a company like yours, because, you know, you go out of the way to make sure it's coming from sources that are buying it from... that are treating everyone all around relatively well. And a lot of times with the commodity foods, these are things like chocolate, coffee, sugar, and tobacco is included in there even though it's not a food.
Mm-hmm.
But these things that are often grown in third world countries, a lot of the fertile ground is used to grow these things. And these aren't foods that are really essential to life. They're luxuries that... Mm-hmm. A lot of us consume that have the means. And unfortunately, a lot of people in third world countries go hungry because the land is used to grow these commodity foods. And so there needs to be some better balance there. And part of the problem is that the coffee and sugar and chocolate and tobacco growers are not paying really equitable wages to their farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have the money to buy the food. And so we need to have more balance and have our chocolate come from sources where the farmers are paid well.
Right.
So that they can feed their families and send their kids to school. So anyway, when we're going to have these treats, it's perfectly fine to have them. Just make sure you're buying them from companies that make sure the farmers are getting a living wage. It's really important.
Yeah, we have a lot of concerned people who are interested in rescue chocolate, and I have, before I put it on my frequently barked questions page, I got the question a lot, like, what about the slave labor? So we do try as much as possible to make sure that this is a fair and humane product all around.
Who designed your packaging? I meant to ask you that before.
this is kind of a group effort. Mm-hmm. Everything is, you know, starts as an idea that I have, but I don't have, like, graphic design skills, so I was working with a designer, actually, that I found on Elance.com. So I'm a new fan of that website.
What is the website?
It's called Elance, as in freelance,
oh,
but
right.
Elance.
Cool.
Yeah, and so you can basically see the portfolios of hundreds and thousands of designers and pick whose designs kind of meld with your ideas.
Mm, great. So some of the packaging came from there, too, or the design of them?
Just the design of them, and then we do everything at the Chocolate Factory in Sunset Park, Brooklyn.
Wow.
We print out the labels, and I do all of the packaging.
You know, Brooklyn is really exciting. I found Brooklyn and Chicago. There's a lot of entrepreneurial stuff going on in both of those cities, and lots of different vegan products are coming out.
Yeah, definitely. In this one neighborhood, Sunset Park, when I just walk to get to the factory, I pass so many different factories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're making, but sometimes it smells like sugar, so there's probably some other candy factories around.
So tomorrow is April 22nd, and it's a big day for two reasons.
Oh, yes. I know one of the reasons.
One of the reasons is it's my birthday.
Happy birthday!
And I'm happy to have these chocolate treats to celebrate. But the other special thing about April 22nd, it is Earth Day. Earth Day. And it's a very special day. And I love that people celebrate the Earth, this planet we call home. But it's also a very frustrating time, mm-hmm. because people are supposed to be doing things that are good for the planet, and you go to all kinds of events and schools that have Earth Fairs and different websites that list all kinds of things that you can do for the planet. And rarely, rarely, rarely do they mention the most significant thing that you can do.
Every day.
Every day. Not just one day. Even if you did it that one day, it would be great. But every day, which is reduce or eliminate meat and dairy animal products. That's meat, red meat, chicken, the feathered vegetable, fish, the scaly vegetable. No, they're all animal products, and growing them in the quantities that we do today is devastating on the planet. It's now believed to be, if not the major cause of global warming, one of the most significant contributors to global warming. It's also, if not the cause, the most significant cause to soil degradation, air pollution, water depletion, biodiversity loss.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It is shocking that it's left out almost everywhere, this one thing. And I think it's partially because of these big corporations who have such a stake in us continuing to consume their animal products.
Right. It just seems, it's just such a shame. So we're told to go to these more efficient compact fluorescent light bulbs, right?
And that will change the world.
Right. And we're told to take shorter showers, and we're told, oh, so many different things, to recycle,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine.
Walk more.
All of these things are great. Ride a bike, walk more, sure. But how about give up the hamburger? And that's a beef burger. That's also a turkey burger. And that's all kinds of meat-based burgers, because the raising of these animals for food is so inefficient, uses so many resources, and is so devastating on the environment. And guess what? It's not healthy.
No. Not healthy at all.
You know, I want to talk a little bit more about Earth Day, but I just want to get back to chocolate. We didn't talk about the health benefits of chocolate.
And there are plenty of health benefits. We keep finding out more and more.
What are some of them?
Well, it reduces blood pressure.
Ooh.
It's very high in antioxidants. It's definitely been found to improve concentration, increase creativity. Mm. These aren't measurable things, but these are just kind of anecdotal things that have been found, but
I wonder how it reduces blood pressure. Do you know about that, or I should look further into that? It's curious.
I don't know the science, but there are published studies.
Mm-hmm. Now, my mom told me once that she had heard that chocolate was more nutritious than broccoli.
Oh.
Now, that's not the thing you normally hear from your mom. It's usually eat your broccoli, and then you can have your chocolate. But
I know the cacao bean, the bean itself, before it's ground up, anything added to it, it really does have the highest antioxidant count, like, of any just single ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something.
Oh, you know, I just have to mention this. It just came to my mind, and I'm jumping all over the place here. But I was reading about this special coffee. It's a fermented coffee that gets from... What happens is these animals called civets. Have you heard about this?
Oh, I think I just read about that.
This is a nightmare. I read it in the New York Times this weekend.
Yeah.
These animals called civets go for these coffee beans, and they somehow know how to select the best ones.
Right.
And they eat them. At least they're going for the exterior part of the coffee bean, the soft, fruity part.
Uh-huh.
And they eat it, and then the beans ferment in their digestive system and mm-hmm. then come out in their excrement. And there are people, indigenous people to where the civets may be found, that collect the excrement and clean it and then sell the coffee beans for this very special fermented coffee. And it's considered to be... very gourmet and delicious and extravagant.
Right.
Does it sound good to you? It doesn't sound very good.
I don't think I could try it myself. I'll take their word for it.
But the unfortunate thing is, because they're getting a lot of money for the coffee, they're now trying to farm these animals and trick them into eating all kinds of things in order to get any coffee bean through their digestive system and fermented for this process.
Not what we want to see.
No. And somehow I was just thinking about it. Cocoa beans, coffee beans, there is some connection there. I don't know.
Hopefully not. Let's not put it in the civet's mouth.
Well, who knows? But that's just an unfortunate thing where more and more people are looking to make a buck at the expense of other precious living beings.
Right.
And I just have to make a disclaimer here. I am not necessarily an animal lover. I do not have pets. And some dogs would think that I'm not their best friend. I just don't feel good with them around me. And, you know,
you
that's just my personal thing. I didn't. And but, you know, I don't want any animal to be mistreated. I don't want any animal not to have the full experience of life, to have its friends, to have its family, to have its children, to be able to feel the sun and,
exactly.
and romp around.
They're not ours to use.
That's right. Okay. So, what do you have any last thoughts about where you want to see rescue chocolate?
I want to see rescue chocolate everywhere. I want it to be in every convenience store, every grocery store. I want it to be everywhere. If every person who goes to the grocery store would see our chocolate, see the flavors, think about it, what are these issues, what do they mean? We wouldn't have to kill 4 million healthy dogs and cats every year in our shelters, because that number is still just unfathomable.
Right.
These are healthy animals that we are killing.
Okay, so I recommend everyone, again, to check out rescuechocolate.com. Please visit it during all the great holidays, Valentine's Day, Easter, any birthday.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day is coming. There's a good reason.
And in between.
There's always a time for chocolate. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Join me again next week. Check out the archives for all of our shows. Thank you, Sarah Gross, for joining me today and for bringing
for me
one of the best birthday presents I could ever have, chocolate. Thank you, and bye-bye.